Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning, a news and public affairs programming service of Cox Media Group. I'm your host, Mimi Lawson. This morning, I have Michael Dunlap with me. He's the employment specialist at the Warrior Bridge, and everything that we're going to be talking about today surrounds veterans.
Yes, it does.
And you are a veteran, veteran, I would take
it. Yes, absolutely. I was in the Marine Corps 76 to 82.
That's quite a matter of honor, isn't it?
Yeah, it's old Corps.
Mm-hmm.
It's old Corps.
When you go into the Marine Corps, I mean, is it a career choice or is it more of a calling?
It's more of a calling. I felt I needed to be part of something bigger than myself.
Right.
And, you know, my football coach, when I was a freshman in high school, wanted me to quit because he was afraid I was going to get hurt. So I convinced myself then I was going to teach him a lesson.
Oh, good for you.
So when I was 15, I went to the Marine Corps recruiter, told him I wanted to be a Marine. He showed me some videos, and that was about it.
Well, probably at the time that you went into the Marine Corps, we were not involved in a foreign conflict.
No, we left Vietnam in 1975. I joined the Marine Corps. My father had to sign the paperwork as a waiver. I joined the Marine Corps on my 17th birthday. The day after my birthday, I was in boot camp.
So did you feel more a sense of, well, I'm not going to be called into combat? I mean,
No, not at all. I felt like I could be called at any time.
Did you?
Yeah, you can't go in there thinking, oh, nothing's going to happen. No, you joined the Marine Corps because you want something to happen and you're ready for it.
You know, and I do think a lot of people, because of the education opportunities that service will provide, that and then we're not necessarily in a conflict. I know people my age thought that at the time. Well, you know, it's a great way to get an education. I'm not going to be called. We're not in a conflict. It's a safe thing. That's never the case.
Well, I dropped out of high school, so I didn't join for the education.
Oh, wow.
I did finish high school in the Marine Corps.
Right.
I did.
Right.
But I didn't join for the education. I joined for the adventure.
Well, and you know, you get more than an adventure, though. You get a sense of pride. You get a whole new way of living your life.
Oh, absolutely. The Marine Corps, first of all, my father didn't make me a man. The Marine Corps did.
Yeah.
That's all I know is the Marine Corps way. Mm-hmm. So they just didn't teach me an adventure. They taught me a way of life.
Exactly. So then you take that way of life on, and then what happened? Give us a genesis of what happened. You join, you're in for quite some time. What happened in your life? What changed in your life, and what kind of goals did it set for you?
Well, I'll give you a little bit of a premise. Joined the Marine Corps in 76. Of course, they say nothing happened, but things happened, and we were always ready, trained to go, ready for the choppers to take us to the ships and go to El Salvador or wherever the hot spots were at the time. After 6 years, after I did everything I pretty much wanted to accomplish in the Marine Corps at that point, I got out. Hmm. I did 6 years. I did what I wanted to do as a Marine. And I went back to South Bend, Indiana, and there I didn't fit in. I didn't belong. You know, when I was a junior in high school, well, when my buddies were juniors in high school, I was in boot camp. By the time they were seniors, I was on my first tour to Okinawa. And when I got out of the Corps, those people back home just didn't understand. I was a sergeant. I was a squad leader. It didn't mean nothing to anybody but me.
Mm-hmm. Would you suggest it to a young man or a young woman who is having trouble finding their way to join the Marine Corps?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not the Marine Corps made up of misfits. It's just those special people. Not everybody could be a Marine.
I know
but that.
But
that has not, well, not just that. Not everybody joins the military. I don't want to just emphasize the Marine Corps. Yeah, the Marine Corps is near and dear to my heart, always will be, and every Marine that's ever stood on those yellow footprints understands that. But anybody that joins the military, they got a calling for a reason. 1% of the people in this nation are veterans. Why are we considered bottom feeders? You know, there's 1% of the people.
Amen.
You know, 1% of the people in this country are billionaires, the multimillionaires, the very rich. Then there's a 98% of regular, everyday people that, you know, do the right things. And then there's 1% that joins the military.
And those people are the ones that defend our freedom.
Yeah,
you're right. When Vietnam was over, didn't you have some sense that maybe that was the kind of homecoming that you were going to be exposed to?
There was no homecoming for the Vietnam vets.
I was being nice.
Yeah, I know. You were being very gentle. But there was no homecoming for the Vietnam vets. They weren't being able to get connected to the resources. The VA centers, the VA hospitals, they were all in shambles. Nobody cared. It's not just Vietnam. Korean War. I working with veterans, with the organization I work with now, we get Korean War veterans that are still having issues. Those guys were forgotten. They were kicked around. Vietnam vets, everybody knows that they were spit on. But now the veterans today are getting treated the way they should be treated, the way every veteran should have been treated.
You know, I've had a lot of veterans in here from different wars, and we've had this very same conversation. I think that a lot of people don't even understand. My father was a World War II veteran.
God bless him.
And his friends a friend of his particularly was a prisoner of war. None of the PTSD or other issues that we're now dealing with were ever dealt with. This man had nightmares till the day my father died.
Absolutely.
And then it got worse.
You know, just because you don't recognize it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Right.
And it wasn't being recognized. Now, these guys coming back from, it's called OEF, OIF, and OND, Operation New Dawn. The guys that are coming out now. The issues that we've dealt with in the past, the Vietnam era veterans, even myself, the non-Vietnam era, and the World War II vets, those situations have always been there. Our stories are unique, but the issues remain the same. It's there.
I don't know if you got a chance to go down in downtown St. Petersburg when they had brought that, Scott Maxman had brought that whole pictorial. It was a whole event that happened. They were down there last year around this time, and it was pictures even from the Civil War, even to present day. And it was very interesting to talk to different veterans about the difference in warfare, the difference in how they were treated when they came back, the stories that they told. And one of the things that really was important, I think, was that just because somebody gets back and they get a little help, whether it's from wounded warriors or whoever they get help from, they don't need that help just for 6 months or a year. They're going to need those
for
kinds
life.
Of services it's, forever.
It's there forever.
Exactly.
You go to any VA hospital. I've been blessed to be put in an area where there's two VA hospitals within 30 miles of each other, James Haley and, of course, Bay Pines.
Right.
You go to either one of those hospitals and you'll see a lot of the older vets. You know, the things that you do as a Marine or anybody in the military, when you're young, it's great. This is cool. I can handle it. Not a big deal. Suck it up. But as you get older, those things catch up to you. You slow down, but your past catches up to you and it smacks you in the butt and you have to suck it up and move on.
And I think that's something that we as civilians need to know, that this is an ongoing project. This isn't something that you do for a month or two or even a year. This is a lifetime commitment.
Right. And the work that I do right now with Warrior Bridge, I'm an employee with Warrior Bridge, the same company that helped me out when I needed help. The work that we do reaches out to those veterans to let them know it's ongoing. It never stops. You're going to need resources. You're going to need contacts. You're going to need a support network the rest of your life. That's just the way it is.
Let's talk about Warrior Bridge. What exactly is it and where are you guys located?
Well, Warrior Bridge, you can find us on the website at warriorbridge.org. We're out of Oakton, Virginia, Arlington, Fairfax, Washington, D.C. We're in 9 states, and we cater to the needs of veterans in regards to job placement. I develop relationships with local employers that want to hire veterans but don't know how. Bless their hearts, they want to, but they just don't know how, so I introduce them. Barrier removal, a lot of veterans. People take for granted they have a driver's license. So many veterans do not have a driver's license.
Why is that?
The most ridiculous one, just today, you know, I spoke to a veteran. His license was suspended because he wasn't working, and he was behind in child support.
Oh, yeah.
Give the guy a break. He's a vet. Give him a break. He needs that little bit of an edge, that barrier. Driver's license, things you take for granted, vets have difficulty getting for one reason or another. I help remove those barriers. If a veteran needs a state certification, a state license, they've been, for instance, a registered nurse, and they need the funds. They need to get that license back. I help remove that barrier, help them make the connections. A lot of veterans that come to me are homeless.
Right.
A lot. All the veterans that come to me have a disability. A disability isn't necessarily what you see.
Right.
It's what the doctor says, you got a problem with this. And they need to step up and realize, yeah, it is a disability. And it's a hard thing for somebody to admit.
Well, and I think that we're getting better, though, at accepting people with disabilities that you don't see. And in acceptance, and also the people who have them being able to reach out and get help. Because it was not a thing that you did in the old days.
Right. In the old days being like, for instance, Vietnam and Korea.
Or even before.
Yeah, those guys just suffered in silence.
Right.
That's, you know, the suffering in silence. Yeah, there's a lot of strength in suffering in silence. You know, you need to suck it up sometimes. But there's also a time to listen. You have to talk. You have to listen. You don't need to go to a group therapy. Vets just get turned off by group therapy. No, I want to sit down and smoke a cigar and drink a beer with somebody and just open up a little bit. You got to pull that thorn out of your side little by little. If you yank that right out of your side, you're going to spill your guts. But just little by little, just let it out.
let's talk about employment. I'm confused about this. It seems to me, especially with the atmosphere that we have in this country, that vets would have a job or have trouble getting a job when they come back. It would think to me, it seems like people would be opening their doors to hire veterans.
Well, the big situation there is a lot of employers do not know how to translate, and the veterans are learning how to translate what they did in the military to the civilian world. It's a big transition. You know, when you join the military, boom, the transition is immediate. You don't have a choice. You sign the dotted line. You know, when you sign that dotted line, you wrote a blank check payable to the United States of America up to and including your life. That's a blank check that could be cashed at any time.
Wow.
So you got to make that transition quick. But when you get out of the military, the transition is very slow.
Mm-hmm.
It's an immediate impact. It's just an ongoing process.
Is part of the problem because they haven't held a job for a while, a quote-unquote typical job? Is that part of the problem?
That's a stigma. You hit the label right on the head. They haven't had a typical job, a job that civilians aren't familiar with. Most civilians don't know about speedy decision-making under pressure or risk assessment or team organization.
And you those know? Would be great things for any organization
Absolutely.
To
those,
have to at their disposal.
Those are intangible skills that you acquire over years.
Right.
And these are guys that right out of high school. I have a veteran that I've worked with. God bless this kid. On 9/11, he was a freshman in high school, and he made the decision that day he was going to join the Army, and he did. He went right into the Army right out of high school. He did 7 combat tours in 7 years.
Oh, my gosh.
He was an airborne ranger. I don't want to say his name, but he know who he is. Airborne ranger, I love this guy because he put his heart on the line, and he did what he had to do. And that was a pretty quick transition for him. And that's all he knows is the military way. Organization, regimentation, teamwork, you got each other's back. All of a sudden, in the civilian world, people don't have your back.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and I guess you just answered part of the question for me. Here's the other part of the question. Somebody who has left and had a quote-unquote typical job when they left, and then employers don't want to give them that employment back. What is up with that?
They said they had the reduction in force is the typical. We're not hiring. We don't have any room for you. There's always an excuse. You can come up. You got 10 fingers and 10 toes. There's how many excuses you can come up with why not to hire somebody. I remember when I was like 15, 16 years old, and TV commercials were on, don't forget, hire the vet.
Right.
You know, these are the Vietnam guys. Well, these same guys are still out here today trying to get their lives together.
Right.
Don't forget, hire the vet. Everybody talks about it.
Right.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Exactly.
Take that chance on it. If a vet has a criminal record, so what? Give the guy a chance.
Let's talk about that. Is that part of what you do is help those people get their past not erased, but...
I call it barrier removal. Not resolved. It's barrier removal. You know, some barriers can be removed. Yeah, if a guy needs a driver's license or a state certification, I can help that. That's a barrier I can remove. If he has a barrier of a criminal record, there are avenues. There's, I want to call it the judicial outreach programs through both VA hospitals. There are those programs, probationary programs. If a guy gets in trouble and he doesn't want to go to court, and the judge says, you know, we'll put you on probation, and if you get a job and you keep your nose clean for X amount of time, this never happened. And that's what veterans need.
Right. The problem is then getting the job.
Yeah, I'm dealing with that every day.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of employers do want to step up, but there's always a reason why they don't, and it's up to me to try to find out that reason.
And then deal with the reason.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about somebody who's listening right now who is an employer and really does want to hire a veteran, but is concerned about a couple of things, maybe a criminal background, maybe a lack of experience, or that person may be dealing with some anger issues, some PTSD issues. How do we talk to those people and how do we resolve those issues?
Well, first of all, employers know that there's a tax credit for hiring a veteran who's been out of work for 6 months.
Oh.
There's that workers' opportunity tax credit. Fill out some paperwork, you get a tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
And if a guy's committed a crime and the employer's apprehensive about hiring him, which you can't blame him, he'd probably do the same thing. But most of my veterans want that second chance. They screwed up. They know that. Well, there's also a credit for that, for hiring somebody who has a criminal background.
Mm-hmm.
And they are federally bonded up to $5,000.
Oh,
so
wow.
There's a federal bond in place to help those vets. There's programs. And a lot of the guys that have the PTSD, they're in programs. They're getting vocational rehabilitation. They're going through therapy. They are getting assistance. They just need that little bit of an edge of getting a job putting that best foot forward and somebody trusting them.
And you know what's interesting is there are plenty of people who have not served our country who have the very same issues that aren't getting any of that help, aren't acknowledging that they have those issues. And I just think it's awesome that you're able to say, okay, I've got a problem. This is how I need to deal with it. And now there is this Warrior Bridge project who helps them out. Now, let's talk about the vet. How do they get in touch with you and where do they begin?
In the local area, they could call me. Can I give you my phone number?
Oh, you certainly can.
You can call me at 727-744-2814. That is my cell phone. I'm always there. Now, if you call me at 12 o'clock on a Saturday night, I'm probably sitting at a poker table and I won't answer the phone.
Yeah.
However, call me at 727-744-2814 or visit warriorbridge.org and see where we are. We're all over the place, but down here in the Pinellas, Hillsboro, Tampa Bay area, call me locally and we can talk.
We talked on the phone before you came in today about you availing yourself to one of the other programs, and that's being able to get a house. Tell me about that.
That was such, what a huge blessing. First of all, to get a mortgage-free home, you hear about it all the time. This guy got a mortgage-free home. Well, now you're talking to somebody who actually got one. And I got a buddy that got one 2 weeks ago also. So they are out there. They do exist. And when you get that home, you don't realize what a prestigious award it is. I'm just so honored to get that. It's not one of those once-in-a-lifetime things. It's an award. You know, I came down here 4 years ago. I was homeless, living in my car, and I went through the program at Bay Pines, you know, the domiciliary program. I made a comeback. I had a great support network. I had good resources. I didn't abuse anything. I took advantage of what was available. I connected the dots, and things start happening. And then 3 years ago, I started working with Warrior Bridge, helping out the same vets that I was part of that demographic. So I've walked the walk. I know what it's like. It sucks.
You're right.
Okay? But as I go through the process, I don't want to call myself a mentor to the vets.
But you are.
But I've been there. I'm not one to label myself. You know, on my business card, all it says on my business card is my name and USMC veteran. That's all I can say. But 3 years ago when they hired me, I thought, okay, I need to set an example for my vets. I mean, I've done this much so far. I'm doing well. I need to pay it back. And I started helping my vets, taking them through the different steps in the process to get a job and to get an apartment, how to establish themselves. And in that process, I learned more about myself, and I became established. I maintained my bills on time, got a good bank account. I was doing all the right things. And then the opportunity, I got an email from Congressman Gus Bilirakis, you know, a mortgage-free home for a veteran up in Dunedin in a 55-plus community. I said, well, I fit the bill, but I want to do this for my vets. I want to see what the process is like.
Sure.
I did it with the total attitude, I don't want the house. I just want to see the process. So I applied online, and I got an email back. Mike, the application looks good. You've got everything in place. I had to take a $99 online course for first-time homeowners. I had to pay a background check fee, and I did all that. And he said, now you need to beef up your biography. I wrote about two paragraphs about myself and the Marine Corps, da-da-da. Okay, so I sent him a two-page biography. He said, now, Mike, you want to make the banker cry. How do you make a banker cry other than raising the interest rates?
Take his money away from him.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't about to do that, so I said, okay. So I put together a real nice two-page biography on everything that I've been through before, during, and after the Corps. And 2 days later, I thought they were lying. I thought they were going to pull the rug out. 2 days later, congratulations, Mike. You made the banker cry. You're the guy. You're going to get the mortgage-free home. This was on January 10th. I applied for it.
And it just happened that fast.
It was amazing. On February 10th, I still couldn't believe it. As I'm signing the paperwork, signing the title work, a month later, exactly 30 days later, I'm signing this paperwork, it starts sinking in. Wow, I'm getting a home.
Wow.
And then February 13th, I moved in. The organization that helped me is also a not-for-profit.
Which was, by the way, Friday the 13th, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, but I don't care.
That's funny.
I don't care. It was, you know.
You changed the luck.
Well, I give glory to God and honor to the Corps, but the keys are mine. The keys are all mine.
So how many of these homes are available to vets, and are they specifically in counties? I mean, is there an X number in certain counties, or is it a national?
They haven't done that demographic. When Bank of America and the organization that gave it to me, that awarded me the home, is Veterans Association of Real Estate Professionals, VAREP. They work together. Bank of America has given away 1,600 homes this
1,600?
Year. 1,600 homes to veterans.
Wow.
So more of them are popping up. What I advise, if any veteran wants to get one of these homes, you got to get your ducks in a row. Just because you're a veteran and you were in combat, that's not just good enough. You got to get some ducks in a row. You got to line up a pay history. You have to have a work established history, paying your bills on time. You have to be able to pay your taxes, and you're going to have home expenses you're going to have to pay. You have to be able to have all that documentation available. And the biggest thing that I recommend everybody, get some references. You're going to need to be recommended by a local not-for-profit. There's a lot of them out there. Do some volunteer work. Let them be familiar with you. Let them say, hey, you, this is a great guy. He's been working with us for 3 months as a volunteer. We highly recommend him. Do some outsourced work.
We know Habitat for Humanity is the same way. There has to be a certain amount of sweat equity before you qualify.
You got to have skin in the game.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what you're saying as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the homes are becoming more and more available, and they do it by demographic. For instance, Building Homes for Heroes and Homes for Heroes wants to deal with just the OEF, OIF, OND vets. These are the, we've been at war for 14 years.
Right. So what does all that mean, OAFE?
OEF is Operation Enduring Freedom. That's Afghanistan.
Okay.
Operation Iraqi Freedom, which is Iraq, and Operation New Dawn, which is we're leaving Afghanistan. The war is winding down.
I see.
To the Vietnam guys, that was called Operation Frequent Wind Eagle Pull back in the old days.
Yeah. Yeah. So now, all right, let's start from the beginning. You say you've got to get a job. You've got to get straight. You've got to get, you know, start paying your bills. All of those things seem overwhelming to somebody like yourself at one time living out of your car.
Well, like I said, I started 3 years ago. I started the process to put myself in a position that I could buy a home. I went to Florida Housing, Pinellas County, Florida Housing, because they do have housing available through Pinellas County for local veterans. Mm-hmm. And there's a checklist. You have to have these things in place before you can purchase a mortgage home.
I see.
Mortgage home. And I was doing all those things thinking
that's what you were going to get.
Right, right. That was my goal. My goal was not to get a mortgage-free home. If that's your goal, to get a mortgage-free home, you're deceiving yourself. Mm-hmm. You look in the mirror, you suck it up, and you go through the checklist, and you acquire the things that are required to purchase a home. But then when an opportunity comes up for a mortgage-free home, you jump on it, and you get your references in place.
And very much like Habitat for Humanity, I imagine that after you get a home, there are certain things that you have to do to keep that home. Can they take it away from you?
Well, I can't sell it for 2 years.
Really?
It's mine for 2 years. I have to pay my homeowners association.
Right.
That's necessary. Of course, yearly taxes. 2 weeks ago, I went down to the title office and I put in my application. It's going to be a homestead.
Right.
And once you become a homeowner, oh, there's scammers out there. I got so much mail from these scamming. Oh, send us $95 and you'll get da-da-da-da. There's so many scams out there, so I try to be on the up and up. But I had filed. It's going to be a homestead.
Awesome.
So it's home.
So the first step is I'm living in my car. I have maybe had some trouble with the law. I've got some substance abuse problems, perhaps. What do I do? Do I call you?
Go to the VA.
Go to the VA.
Starting point should be the VA. You got to get your DD-214. You get your VA card. You make contacts through the VA vocational rehabilitation. If you're OEF, OIF vet, go to the OEF, OIF center down there. Greg is the receptionist down there. Talk to those people. You got to make a starting point somewhere. When I got out of the Marine Corps in 82, there was no resources.
Right.
These guys now coming back. It's a shame that you have to use it. But, man, it's a shame if you don't use it. It's there. Ask any Vietnam vet that wishes these resources were available when we got out. They're available. They're there to help you out for a reason.
Well, I talked to some people who had done an awesome thing. It's probably been about 6 or 8 months ago, where they literally went to some of these places around Tampa, the parks and stuff where homeless veterans are living, rounded up veterans and gave them a place to live.
Yes.
And the resources for a whole year.
Yes, they go out and they do that. Haley did one, I believe, about 3 weeks ago. They went out of the community, getting these veterans off the streets, getting them into a safe environment. So many veterans come to me that are homeless. They're living on the streets, and they want to find a job. First thing I tell them, get with the VA, get a safe, secure place. You can store your gear, keep clean, get a good night's rest, and you can eat. then you can work. You got to get, you got to stop moving around before you can get to work.
I often think that when I see people who are asking for money on the side of the roads, and of course we all, you know, unfortunately our society has a real attitude about that panhandling. I mean, yeah, they're shushed away. I live in St. Petersburg, so, you know, outdoor cafes are a big thing, and there's a lot of people who are asking for money, and the people who own businesses around there, it seems to be something that they do on a daily basis. They have somebody there who is shushing these people away from you.
Do you want to hear a nice fluffy answer, or you want to hear it from a former Marine?
I want to hear it from a Marine.
First time somebody came up to my car, he said he was a homeless vet. I said, really, what branch service were you in? He made a huge mistake. He said Marine Corps. Oh, really? Who were you with? Where'd you go? What would you do? What was your MOS? And when he told me he was Delta Force Recon, get away from my car. Don't tell anybody you were a Marine. That's bull.
That happened in Tampa. Somebody.
It happened last week, I believe.
Last week, yeah, when this guy really went off at some homeless and actually tried to get the guy arrested for impersonating a veteran.
There's a lot of imposters out there. So to the people that want to help these people standing on the corner holding a cardboard sign, wake up. There's 2,500 not-for-profits in the Tampa Bay area that will assist anybody that needs help. There's scammers out there. I don't give a dollar to anybody standing on the corner. There's resources. They can get help if they really want it. God helps those that help themselves.
Well, you know, it's so interesting to hear this from you, because I think a lot of people, I feel the way that you feel, then I think that I'm just being a hard ass about it, and that I'm being unfair, and that I haven't walked in that person's shoes, but I'm hearing it right from the horse's mouth here, that what I feel is exactly the way to go.
Kindness, generosity, and humility are Christian values that we need in this country, but we still need the hard asses to keep everybody in line.
Right. Now, if I want to help out, I'm just some radio host. You know, I don't control who gets hired around here. And I want to give money. I want to give resources. I want to do something. What do I do? Where do I start? Do I go to the VA and say, what can I do? Can I volunteer?
Well, there's 2,500 not-for-profits in the Tampa Bay area. But I'm going to tell you about the one that I work for. There's 100% transparent. 100% of your donations for veterans goes to the veterans.
Amen.
And that's ServiceSource Warrior Bridge. We also have what's called the Abilities Mall.
Yes.
The Veterans Mall. Mm-hmm. God bless Virginia Meyer and the Veterans Mall. She came up with the idea 4 years ago that these homeless veterans are making a transition from homelessness into their own new apartments. Most of them haven't had an apartment in years and years and years.
Right, that's what we were just talking about.
Exactly. So when a guy gets into his first apartment, you know, 2 or 3 months later, he's still sitting there with nothing but an empty pizza box on a Saturday night. He gives it up and goes back to the way he was. So The Veterans Mall is designed to help those veterans keep that transition, not give up. They're given so much new things, and it's all donations and organized by volunteers. I partnered with the VAs, both Haley and Bay Pines. Twice a week, they bring veterans through the Veterans Mall that are on what's called the HUD-VASH program, which is a national effort on the part of the VA to eradicate homelessness. That's the goal, to eradicate homelessness. So when a veteran gets his HUD-VASH voucher and he goes through the process and he's scheduled to come through the mall, when he leaves the mall, he has things in his apartment that people take for granted. So if you want to make a generous donation, or at least check it out, check out the Abilities Foundation Veterans Mall.
And do you have a website for them?
Abilities Foundation Veterans Mall.
There you go, .com.
Abilities Foundation Veterans Mall.
I have had such a good time, and it's been such a pleasure talking to you this morning. I'm amazed at your journey and a journey that you are willing to help other people go through. And there just aren't words to thank you enough for spending time with us, but also for everything that you've done for all these people.
Well, thank you for letting me be here. You know, the people out there that want to help, God bless you, help, but help in the right way.
Right.
Don't give money to the people standing on the street to say they need. There's resources. There's so many organizations that want to help, and the veterans that need the help, they know where to go. There's resources available to these vets.
Okay. Give us our number and a website one more time, please.
Go to warriorbridge.org and see what Warrior Bridge does. Locally, 727-744-2814. My name is Mike. I'm a former Marine, so I'm going to put it on the line. I'll look you straight in the eye. I'll be square with you. I don't hold anything back. I have a lot of empathy. I walk the walk, and I want to help you make it through.
Michael Dunlap has been our guest this morning on Sunday Morning. God bless you, sir.
Thank you for letting me be here.